If you have your pew Bibles with you this morning, turn to page 884. And when you get there, if you are able, and if you are not able, would you please stand? Because you know what my custom is, and that is reading responsively the Word of God and honoring the Word of God by standing to the reading of it. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 2 and go through verses 1 through 13. I will read the first verse, you will read the second, and we will responsibly read accordingly. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning.
Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, having given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen.
After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God.
While standing with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me.
For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now going to chapter 2, and I will begin in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Divided tongues as fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?
And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?
Parthians, Medes, Amalites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
All are amazed and perplexed.
But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Don't you all just love reading the word of God together? I tell you what, that just empowers me to preach when I hear God's people read God's word together as one body. I am honored today, on this day, to bring the word of the Lord to you. Now, they gave you a lot of hints in the beginning of what is today. Does everybody know what today is?
Yes.
It is Pentecost. Now, as I've grown up in my 17 years in Christendom, till now, I won't tell you how old I am now. I look very young, and I know that. But when I grew up in my religious background, I was never taught about Pentecost. I heard about the filling of the Spirit and everything else, but I never had to hear the background of, you know, the day of Pentecost. So it is with some denominations. I know that ours, in this church, they understand it. You celebrate it. We got the red flag. We got it going on. We know that today is the day we celebrate Pentecost. But in many denominations in Christendom, the Holy Spirit has been minimized. We have no problem getting excited about Christmas, right? Because everybody knows when that's coming. You know, the gift of God come to earth as a human being to come be one of us. We have no problem with getting ready for Maundy Thursday. Is that how we pronounce it? Because I had to learn that from Baptist to Christian Reformed. And some people say I'm not Baptist, I'm Reformed Baptist. You know, I've been accused of by John Cooper. But you have no problem with celebrating Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter, and we're all excited about that which is happening. But what happens when we think about the Holy Spirit? Were you all getting excited knowing that Pentecost was coming? Now be honest with me. Were you excited knowing that this is the day that we celebrate Pentecost? No. Because somehow, some way, we have lost the meaning and the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost. Now, why is that? Could it be that the Spirit is mysterious? You can say, yeah. Could it be that the Spirit is complex? All right. I got my amen corner right here. And y'all can join them anytime. All right. Could it be that sometimes we don't understand it because we can't see him? Could it be sometimes that maybe we're afraid of the Holy Spirit? I believe that if ever there was a time for the people of God and the church of God to celebrate, it's on the day of Pentecost. This is a day whereby God fulfilled his promise by pouring out his Spirit on all who believe. Can somebody give me a hallelujah? See, I grew up regular Baptist, and I have some friends from Illinois, Jan and Paul Duncan, and we grew up General Association of Regular Baptists. And what happens is we were taught a subdued teaching about the Holy Spirit. You know, okay, yeah, the Spirit came and the tongues and stuff, but some of that stuff's not for today. And I tell you that I haven't moved far away from that, but I have understood that the Spirit is much more than what I've been taught it to be. I tell you today, many years I was challenged several years ago by my ex-girlfriend. She was a Church of God person. Now, they call those people Kajiks. That's what Church of God is. Church of God in Christ. Okay? That's it. All right. Thank you. Thank you, dear sister. And so, if you don't understand what Church of God in Christ is, they believe in the full workings and the full displayings of the Spirit. Like, could y'all imagine this regular Baptist dating a Kajik person? One who believes in the subduing of the Holy Spirit, and you know, some of those gifts aren't for today, and then you got me dating somebody who believes in the full works of the Spirit, and yeah, that was a journey for the two of us. But my ex-girlfriend said to me, she says, Arlen, she says, I don't think you should put God in a box and limit him. And as I began to grow in that relationship, and as she challenged me, I realize that sometimes we ministers, you know, sometimes enjoy putting God in a theological box. But I tell you today that no man or woman theologian could put the Holy Spirit in a theological box. Because you see, the Spirit is much more than that. Can you explain to me how the fruits of the Spirit? Can you teach me about how the Spirit baptizes us and unites us in the body of Christ and renews us and makes us alive? Can you tell me how the Holy Spirit continues to indwell us time and time after time again and give us power for his work? I tell you that it is a mysterious and a wonderful power, the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe the work of the Spirit is real. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Let us now look to the Scriptures and ask the Father for the illumination on the Spirit. As we start in the book of Acts, and I'm covering two passages this morning, and I pray to God that I'm going to do them justly, so pray with me and for me this morning as I open the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, we have the promise of the Father. It says, on one occasion while they were eating with them, he gave them this command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water and finished it for me, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look in the Old Testament passage, we Old Testament times, we see one of the functions of the Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, one of the functions of the Spirit was to come upon a prophet or come upon a king or come upon the servant of God and empower them for service. Now, there are many examples of that, and I'll give you one. Samson, who's a judge. I mean, a powerful judge. You talk about He-Man, he had strength, he had muscles, but you know what his power came from? His power came from the Spirit of God. But Samson had some problems. And so therefore, one time when Samson had disobeyed God and went after a woman who did not follow the God of Israel, and then he got disillusioned and he got tied up with that woman. What's her name? Delilah. Delilah, yes. You know, if they ever be careful of the bad women, folks, because they can mess you up. But anyway, he gets caught up with her, and what happens is that he wakes up, she cuts his hair, because remember, his power wasn't in his hair. His power was in the Spirit of God, but he disobeyed God, and so guess what God did? He took his spirit. Thank you, Jasmine. He took the Spirit of God away from him. You see, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon people, and it was just temporary. But I tell you, the Old Testament looked forward to a new day when God would no longer let his Spirit come to us temporarily. Let me give you an example of that. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, and it says, "Afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in heavens and on earth, and blood and fire and billows and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. You see the outpouring of the Spirit, and you see the characterization of God's empowering work resting upon his people. John 14, verse 26, John says, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said." Folks, we have the Holy Spirit forever. It's not temporary. When I mess up like Samson or Saul, I won't lose it. He abides in you and me forever. Praise to God. I don't deserve this gift, which has been given in the Spirit. So now we see in this passage the fulfillment of the Spirit because the Father promised it. But you know, it came on the day of Pentecost. And we see the Spirit of the law fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. You see, I don't serve a God of happenstance and circumstance. Y'all don't hear me today. I do not serve, do you serve a God of happenstance and circumstance?
No.
That's right, thank you, people of God. I serve a God who knew exactly what he was doing. You see, Jesus died during what? Jewish feast. Passover. He died to take away our sins, but then the Holy Spirit comes how many days after? 40? 50. Pentecost, people. 50 days after. And that happened during the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Festivals that celebrated after it was a Jewish celebration that celebrated the Feast of Harvest, celebrating that they are now able to use leavened bread, because during Passover they used what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. And now we have this feast that we're serving. So God now fulfills that, and that Holy Spirit, and we are celebrating the feast. It was not by happenstance. He told them, wait until the time of Pentecost was fulfilled. You see, Passover recalled hard times that they were rescued by God, hence the unleavened bread. Pentecost, or Shavuot, was a celebration of the blessing of harvest, and its joy was symbolized by the leavening bread. The festival began to take on other religious role in the time of exile. Because of Exodus 19:21 describes the arrival of the Jewish people at Mount Sinai about this time of the year, Pentecost was used to mark the giving of the Torah or the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Therefore, over time, the Torah or the giving of the law became a prominent practice with this feast or with this Shabbat. You may ask me, and go ahead, you say, Pastor Arlen, say, Pastor Arlen, here we go. What is the significance of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost? Good. I'm glad y'all asked that question. My answer is that if one of the significant reasons of the Feast of Weeks is to celebrate the gift of Torah, then Pentecost is very important because one of the functions of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was purification. And so this is clearly seen in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. The prophet says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all idols. I will give you a new heart and put in you a new spirit. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You see, Ezekiel described a new age where God would transform our hearts of his people by God's own spirit, taking up residence in each individual. This happened, believers, on the day of Pentecost. This is the age of Christ's church whereby he has put his law in our hearts. Do you not know in the present, past, or the future, could anybody keep the laws on their own merit?
No.
It was given by if you look at what the Israelites happened, look at their history. They were given the law on Mount Sinai, and what happened? They wandered for 40 years because they couldn't do it in the flesh. Romans 8, verses 2 through 4 says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh for our sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that in the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the gospel of the Spirit. This is good news. He created in you and me a new heart, not after flesh, but after the Spirit, and we want to keep his commands. We want to follow our Lord's footsteps. We want to walk in the liberty of the Spirit and not according to the flesh. This is one major significance of Pentecost. Can somebody give me a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Because we could not do it on our own. We needed the Holy Spirit to put God's law upon our hearts so that we would want to follow him and want to serve him because we couldn't do it in our own strength. The significance of Pentecost, the celebrate of the Feast of Shavuot, God's spiritual law written on our hearts so that we can obey him. The Holy Spirit came at a time of a solemn feast because there was a great... Now, I want to go back. We now know that it was the fulfillment of the Father, the promise of the Father. We know that God chose the time of Pentecost for it to come. He chose it to come because of certain significance of him putting his law and his spirit in our hearts. But you realize, remember, we don't serve a God of happenstance, right? God chose Pentecost because it was the most opportune time to send the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came down at a time of a solemn feast because there was a great concourse of people in Jerusalem from all parts of the country, proselytes from other countries, which would make it more public, and the fame of it would spread sooner and farther, which would contribute to much of the propagating of the gospel into all nations. Thus now, as before, as Passover, the Jewish feast served as a bell, as gospel services and entertainments. Fitly, therefore, the Holy Ghost, given at the feast in fire and in tongues for the promulgation of the evangelical law, not as to one nation, but to every creature. If we are going to get this message to a lot of people in different cultures, what do you think would be the best time to do it in Grand Rapids? Festival. See, now I'm making it easy for us. Festival. It happened this weekend. That is the best time. So what is the best time for God to get his message out and send a lot of his messengers? It was at the time of? Festival. The time of Pentecost. Those are the right answers. Again, Jesus told them to tarry. Why? Because it would have an audience that could have the most impact on the world. It was in Jerusalem where our Lord was crucified. It was in Jerusalem that he would send forth his church with great news of the gospel. As we read the names, you notice that we were all people from over the continent. Names that I couldn't even pronounce. Y'all did such a great job reading those names this morning. They were confounded because every word of one of them heard them speak in their own language. Isn't God amazing? They didn't need a translator. They had the Holy Spirit. Here is one thing I find funny as we read that scripture. I find funny that it says when some of them heard these folks speak in their own language, they thought that they were drunk. Now, you guys help me. How many of you have been around some people who got drunk? Not in the church, but some people outside the church. Okay? How many? Now, if you've been around some drunk people, and I have, can you understand anything they say? You cannot understand a word of drunk people. You say, Lord, I'll get away from them. Yeah, because here they come. Paul says, these people aren't drunk as with new wine, but they have been filled with the Spirit and they understood clearly every single word. So what happened at the most strategic time, the Father's promise was fulfilled. His law was written on our hearts. It is no longer temporary. It is permanent. He picked a strategic time that he would have a lot of people there so that he would disperse them to take the gospel message. Now, as you look at this passage, what is a description of the Spirit? He came as a what? A mighty rushing wind. He came as a dividing tongue of fire. So let's just take a couple of glances of these two descriptions that is found in Acts chapter 2. A mighty rushing wind. In John chapter 3 verse 8, Jesus told Nicodemus that the wind blows wherever it pleases, and we read that earlier this morning. Yet it hears the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from. So it is everyone that is born with the Spirit. The Spirit is the wind. We can't see it, but it's real. We can't see it, but it has great power. We can't see it, but the wind comes from the heavens and not the earth. But it affects people on the earth. Just like the Holy Spirit does. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but he has great power to move in us and change us. He comes from heavens and he greatly affects people on earth. Description that it was the tongues of fire. Now, in metallurgy, I got my buddy, where's my buddy, the science person here? He's here, I saw him here earlier today. In metallurgy, they use fire to temper metal. When you heat certain metals and cool them, they are much stronger than they ever were before. On the space shuttle, they use tempered screws and bolts because they are stronger and can withstand higher temperatures. Folks, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, he tempers us. We become stronger spiritually. We are better able to withstand the heat of temptation. But you know what? Fire also warms us. It cheers us. Now, how many of you like campfires? And you like them on a cold night, you know, because in the summer times it's hot during the day, but at night it's cold if you're outside, but you get that bonfire going. And you're sitting around the fire, it warms you, it comforts you, it encircles you. That same way, that Holy Spirit, that tongues of fire, encourages us. He's called the Comforter. He warms us. He cheers us. Also, when I think of fire, I think of the example of Moses in the burning bush. I can't imagine that bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. It had to be amazing for Moses to see that and comforting to him because God spoke to him in the burning bush on Mount Sinai. Today, our banners are red because it symbolizes that burning, that fire, that comforting, that empowering of God. After that, we see the filling of the Spirit.
Still today, there are some disagreements among evangelicals about the baptism and the filling of the Spirit. I believe the scriptures teach one baptism, but many fillings. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been made all to drink of one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, which you are not your own. Therefore, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Being filled with the Spirit, I believe it is the gift of God to believers, which empowers them to live for God and to do the work of the ministry. There are many gifts of the Spirit, and God is the one who gives them as He chooses. It is our responsibility then, as believers who have been regenerated, saved, sanctified, set apart, born again, it is our responsibility as believers to live in such a way that God will want to fill us. Because the scriptures do teach that there are times that we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't follow or obey Him. I believe in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word for filled is that word to fulfill, the ruach, to bring it to fruition, to be complete. I believe that many of us are not plugged into this power source that is available to us. Do you believe in God the Father?
Yes.
Do you believe in God the Son?
Yes.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Oh, y'all aren't with me today. Do we serve the same God that parted the Red Sea?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, y'all aren't with me today. Do we serve the same God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace?
Yes.
Oh, y'all aren't with me today. Do we serve the same God who laid down His life and took it up again on Resurrection Day? Do we serve this same God, like the Apostle Paul, who says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, unto every man that believeth. Do you believe that that is the same God we serve today?
Yes.
This same God who spoke the words Moses and the burning bush, sent His Spirit on the day of Pentecost to fill believers for the work of the ministry, which is to spread the good news. Not only to those believers who, but all who ask. But we got to yield to Him. Give up and control what we have and live in step with the Spirit. Now you ask me, Pastor Allen, what does being filled in the Spirit look like?
What does being filled in the Spirit look like?
Thank you. Thank y'all for humoring me. Well, let me give you some things of what I see in scriptures of what being filled with the Spirit of God looks like. One, boldness under pressure. In Acts chapter 4, verses 8, Peter had just been thrown in prison with John for using the name of Jesus to heal a man. To heal a man. To do something good. The religious leaders had him thrown in jail. The next day he gives his defense. Peter, it says, Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of people, if we are being called to account today for acts of kindness shown to a crippled man or a crippled person and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become a capstone. If you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to be bold. And folks, I think we've lost that part of the boldness of the Spirit. When we decided to do Alpha, Brother Fred, we said, well, now, you know, people at Eastern, sometimes we're trying to figure out how to do this evangelism thing where it's just the safest way to do it. I tell you what, folks, we live in an antagonistic world, which is an antagonistic to the gospel of Christ, and sometimes it is not safe. Amen?
Amen?
And sometimes you're going to have to depend on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to give you boldness to speak and stand forth for the Word of God.
Amen.
Another example of being filled with the Spirit is The Spirit illumines us with knowledge. As you look at the Apostle Peter, Peter and the disciples did not display any real insight into the scriptures in relation to the mission of Jesus until after the day of Pentecost. Yet, once filled with the Spirit, Peter shows amazing insight as he relates today's events passage from Joel and Psalms and Deuteronomy and Genesis, the ability to understand the true meaning of the scripture as given by revelation of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Spirit, as you read the scriptures, as we interact with one another, gives us that insight and illuminates us. A lot of you know some wonderful people who can teach the Word of God. But I do believe when we get together in Bible study and so forth, you start reading and the Holy Spirit illuminates you and begins to give you insights that you've never seen before. Folks, that is the work of the Spirit. And that is a sign of the indwelling of the Spirit. Another way a person might seem filled with the Spirit is inspired speech. By this, I simply mean we speak, but the Holy Spirit supplies the word. There are several ways we see this in Acts. We witnessing and preaching when Peter addressed the crowd of mockers the day of Pentecost, the word challenged the word, the Holy Spirit enabled us. He gives us what we need to say. He gives us all in Christ. I believe the scriptures teach that. Another mark of a person who is filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues, prophecy, Spirit-filled praise. That's found in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit inspired them to speak in tongues. Acts 10, they spoke in tongues and praised God. Acts 19, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And you say, that's strange for somebody who grew up in a fundamental Baptist church who believes in the subduing of the Spirit. But I was raised in a family that had people from a lot of different denominations. I had some brothers and sisters who were charismatics and had me and my mom who were more fundamental. But you know what? We learned how to get along with each other, and I learned how to appreciate what they believed. And saying, you know, I can't question that. And I look at the way some people are interpreting it and say, no, I can't interpret it that way because I have to interpret the way that God has given me to interpret it. Another way that a person is filled with the Spirit is that you pray in the Spirit. Let me read you some scriptures. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that cannot express. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. Folks, I don't know, have you ever been in that point in that time when you didn't know what to pray for? My oldest brother remembers a time when my mom prayed. Now, believe it or not, folks, God hears prayers of unsaved people too, don't he? Yeah. He does. He does. If he can use a donkey, he can also hear the prayers of unsaved folks. But it was at a time when we had been set out of our house, and my mom was living in the basement of my Aunt Helen, and some of us others were living with another aunt, and my brother Morris heard my mother cry out to God. She cried out to God. She didn't know what to say. She just cried. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that the Spirit of God heard her prayer, because not long thereafter, God was able to bring our family back together and gave her a home and empowered her. She cried out to God. Folks, there comes a time, and many of you have gone through a lot of hard times. Some of you have lost loved ones, deeply lost loved ones. And it's only the Spirit of God that has enabled you to make it through as you pray with that heartfelt spirit. Six, I believe a Spirit-filled person ought to bear fruits of the Spirit. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us be kept in step with the Spirit. I believe a Spirit-filled person also is a person who's obedient to a voice of God. Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 30, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading, Philip asked. Had Philip not been sensitive to the speaking of the Spirit, then the Ethiopian eunuch would not have totally understood and became a Christian that day and received the Holy Spirit. Folks, there are things that I can't understand when things that I do, I says, you know what? The Lord put it on my heart. Some of you say, the Lord puts things on your heart. And I believe that's the Spirit talking to you. When the Spirit talks to you in that small, still voice, obey it. When you have to feed somebody that needs help, obey it. When you have to give a word of encouragement to somebody. And I've seen the Spirit of God give you a voice at times when people have lost loved ones. You don't know what to say, but just show up and be the presence of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, why was the Spirit given in the first place? Why is the Spirit here in this room filling this sanctuary? Why are the winds of God blowing around your life, filling you and making you strong? Is it to make you feel good? It could be. Is it to heal your wounds and your hurts? Yeah, it could be. Is it to give you comfort when the loved one dies? Yes, it could be. Is it to give your life meaning when your life has totally fallen apart? Yes, it could be. Is it to forgive you when your life has lived in a contrary way to the will of God? Yes. But brothers and sisters in Christ, it is much more than that. See, the Spirit of Jesus Christ that surrounds you, is in you, and around you, is given to you that you may have power. The Spirit is given to you so that you would have the power to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to all peoples. For in Pentecost, the church was given power, the power that is greater than tornadoes, the power of the Spirit of God, the power to proclaim with authority the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. You, not the person next to you, but you have been given that power. You are filled with the Spirit, and so am I. I close with Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the utmost parts of the world. Let us pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Pentecost. Lord, we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God who empowers us, who encourages us, who gives us the strength, who gives us boldness, who teaches us all things and is with us forever. It is this Spirit that we have today. Lord, forgive us for not yielding to the Spirit at times. Forgive me for not yielding to the Spirit at times. But Lord, as we leave today, may we leave with a better knowledge and an understanding of who the Spirit is, what he's done, and sometimes what we don't understand, but yet we still yield to, because we serve a God that we cannot put in our box. Thank you, Lord, for the gift and the gospel of the Spirit.